MZTV.
I appreciated your comments on yesterday's show. Apparently everybody, almost everybody, not everybody needs a show like that. But those of us who are rough around the edges, we need our little crutches, whatever they are. Christians would call them things of the flesh. Well, yeah, of course they're of the flesh. You know, drinking coffee is of the flesh. Eating, period, is of the flesh. I mean, that's what we're dealing with right now. So, of course, these things we need are of the flesh. God gives us all things of the flesh, richly to enjoy. All things, period. Paul doesn't say of the flesh. I'm saying that, but all things includes all things. So I'm happy if there are people who don't need a message like that, who think it's ridiculous. Thank God. I mean, I can't imagine living life on the straight and narrow. By that, I mean, I can't imagine living in satisfaction where there's nothing inside you that's just a little bit bent, right? And just a little bit off kilter. I mean, I guess there are some people like that, and I envy the hell out of them. I really do. But for the rest of us, we need our crutches, or as Paul would say. Ooh, I know what Paul would say, and somebody brought this up as a catch-all verse that really covers everything of this ilk as far as using the world, you know, but not using it up. And they quoted to me, I can't remember who said it, but of course it's correct. It's a beautiful verse. It's an amazing verse. That Paul wrote this verse is phenomenal. You have to consider the source. 1 Corinthians 10:23. All is allowed me. That's a long pause for a comma there, Martin. There's a comma. Why don't you finish the sentence? Because I want you to think about that. That an ex-Pharisee, a man who lived his life so strictly, so austerely, who forbade himself every pleasure, no doubt about it, trying to win God's favor, for a man like that to say, all is allowed me? But that covers everything. The verse I used yesterday was, the faith that you have it for yourself. Let me go back specifically to Romans chapter 14. Nothing is contaminating of itself. That's the amazing phrase in Romans 14:14. Nothing is contaminating of itself. And then verse 20, all indeed is clean. All is clean, nothing is contaminating, and now this parallel verse in 1 Corinthians 10:23, all is allowed me. That makes it personal, doesn't it? He's just stating general truths. Nothing is contaminating, everything is clean. Now he's applying it to himself personally, and we apply it to ourselves. All is allowed me. I'm going to get to the second part of that sentence. There's more to that sentence, but you'll understand more clearly in a few moments why I'm not reading that yet. But just think of this. You already know what comes next. All is allowed me. Why does Paul need to say that? Because in the law of Moses, which Paul was an expert at and in, many things were not allowed. There were many foods you could not eat. And Paul is, the food is in the context here. But when he says all is allowed me, he is transcending food. And if you would argue otherwise, I will go. I'll teach you a lesson. I will go to Romans 5, verse 20. Where sin increases, grace super exceeds. So the sin in this context is any sin. Any sin. Now, there's a follow-up to this verse, too, but I'm not going to give it to you yet. I want you to think about that. Where sin increases, grace super exceeds. You will only hear this in Paul's gospel. I will read the preceding sentence. Yet law came in by the way that the offense should be increasing. Yet where sin increases, grace super exceeds. So Paul is contrasting law with grace. Back to 1 Corinthians 10. All is allowed me. I contend to you that Paul is contrasting that with the law. Because in the law, many things were not allowed you. As I said. And especially the priests in Israel who approached God, especially on the Day of Atonement, when they went into the holy place. Definitely not everything was allowed them. They couldn't wear blue jeans into the holy place. They had to wear linen that wouldn't make them sweat. The chief priest had to wear a breastplate, and the gems on the breastplate had to be in a certain order. You had to wash at the laver before you entered in. You had to sacrifice a perfect sacrifice without blemish. Now, all is allowed me in the law of Moses? Forget it. And yet, if where sin increases, grace super exceeds, and if grace overwhelms every single sin, then in order to apply that personally, and that's what Paul's doing here, he's applying a great general truth personally. What is the personal application of where sin increases, grace super exceeds? Like, you can't out-sin grace. That's how I put that in a nutshell. How does that apply personally? Like this: all is allowed me. Amazing. An ex-Pharisee said that. He couldn't have said that as a Pharisee. In fact, on his worst days, he probably, if you interviewed him and talked to him, he'd probably say, listen, nothing's allowed me. Nothing. You don't know how miserable I am, kid. Is it that bad, Saul? Dude, trying to be perfect? It's a rough way to go. I feel so uptight. Most of the time, I just want to go out and kill somebody. Well, what are you going to do about it, Saul? I think I'm going to go out and kill somebody. Okay, man, that'll help relax you. Go ahead, yeah. Can you imagine that? For him to say, all is allowed me. And in fact, this made me think of something that happened this past winter. You know of my son, Paul. If you don't know of my son, Paul, my youngest son, Paul, I have three sons, Gabe, Luke, and Paul. Gabe is a believer, Luke is an agnostic, and Paul is a Christian. And he's becoming a leader in the Christian religion. And because of my teaching, I'm not allowed to see my grandkids because I teach grace. That's why. We've had many long conversations about it. I brought up all my sons the same way, in the truth. They never went to a church in all their days in their lives. They never went to a church. I taught them personally, and I took them to conferences, and they all had the same truth. But my son Paul got hijacked by a Christian. He got seduced into the Christian religion. Now he's an enemy of the cross, and he's an enemy of his own father. Condemns my books. It's a sad situation. I can't see my grandkids. And I asked him this past winter, again, thank God we're talking, and he wants to meet. I said, I long for it. We have to get together in person to talk these things. We've exchanged video, long video things. But I finally asked him this winter, I said, just what is the roadblock here? What is the main roadblock of why I can't see my grandkids? Why you're so offended by the grace of God? I mean, my son Paul, he believes everything the Christians believe. He believes in eternal torment. He believes in free will. He believes in the Trinity. He believes in the immortality of the soul. Every single teaching of demons, he believes. Every single one, right down the line. They got him. Oh, they got him. But he's a good kid. A really good kid, and I love him. I'll never stop loving him. And he loves me, but he just can't. A dangerous person like me can't be around his kids. Why am I dangerous? I might drop something about the grace of God. But I told Paul. I said, listen, Paul, I promise you, I will never tell your kids anything about the grace of God. I won't tell them anything about the victory of Christ at the cross. I promise I won't tell them God's in control of everything. I promise. You just keep teaching them that God's tormenting their great-grandparents, Paul's grandparents, my parents. Paul told me my parents are now burning in hell. If you haven't ordered my book, Christianity's Final Solution, please do. It's a short book, 30-minute read. It's one of the best books I ever wrote because it's just so hard-hitting. There's a conversation in there. It's not hypothetical. It's between my son and me, but I don't name him in the book. Well, he told me, yeah, with no emotion. Yes, my parents, who loved him, my parents, as you know, I had a perfect childhood. I can't think of any other word to describe it. Love, acceptance, encouragement. But those poor people are burning in hell right now, being tortured by the God that my son serves. And he can talk about it without emotion because he's drank the Kool-Aid. But I asked him, what is my crime? Could you just tell me what? And he gave me a quote from one of my videos. I've been meaning to talk to you about this, but this topic brought it up. This is a quote from Martin Zender. I don't know what video this was. It's a little bit taken out of context. Quote, there are only a few things God says not to do. But you are free to do those things. You mean like all is allowed me? And you see, even though my son Paul and the entire Christian religion claim to be the carriers of a message of grace, they're not. They've just taken law and they've given it a fresh coat of paint. But Jesus said it perfectly, whitewashed sepulchres. They just whitewashed human works and called it grace, but there's still many things you're not allowed to do. You all know what I meant when I said this. There are only a few things God says don't do, and these are in the law of Moses, you didn't do them or you got stoned. In the era of grace, Paul says there are things we should do, like love one another, don't shag your stepmother, things like that. But as far as salvation goes, this was the context Paul missed. Maybe he didn't miss, but I don't think he really missed it. He just doesn't believe it to be true. You can't sin your way out of grace. See, my son doesn't believe that. No Christian believes Romans 5:20, where sin increases, grace superabounds. They don't believe it. They absolutely do not believe it. I don't know what they do with that verse. I really don't. Oh, yes, I do know what they do with that verse. They go immediately down to chapter 6, verse 1 of Romans. What then? Shall we declare that we may be persisting in sin, that grace should be increasing? May it not be coming to that. But they think that Romans 6:1 cancels Romans 5:20. That's the curious thing. They think it cancels it. Where sin increases, grace super exceeds. That's a spiritual law, and it's true. You can't out-sin grace, and they will never understand it. The Christian religion, Satan keeps them from understanding it, because this is the gold of Paul's gospel. This is the beating heart. Where sin increases, grace super abounds, super exceeds. This is the result of the cross of Christ taking away the sins of the world. the more powerful is grace than sin. That's what this verse says. And none of them believe it. They can't believe it because it leads to the salvation of all. The only thing that keeps certain people going to hell for eternity in their minds is sin. You've got to keep sin around or they have to get rid of hell, but they know they can't get rid of hell because that's their stock in trade. That's the coin of their realm, so they got to keep sin around. They have to. And they can't say that grace super exceeds, so they jump right down to Romans 6:1. Should we be persisting in sin? The grace should be increasing, but that's a reasonable question based on the revelation of Romans 5:20. You have to believe and understand Romans 5:20 in order to ask the question of 6:1. Well, should we be persisting in sin that more grace should come? The answer is no. May not be coming to that. So no, we're not to persist in sin. But then they forget the principle that even if you did, grace would super exceed. They forget the principle. They think that the answer to the question undoes the reason for the question. The first that prompted the question. They can't believe Romans 5:20. They can't. And they can't believe 1 Corinthians 10:23 either. All is allowed me. Oh, no. And see, that's what Paul stumbles at. You said there are a few things God says not to do, but then you say that we're free to do those things. Well, what the hell is freedom in Christ? What the hell do you think it is? For freedom, Christ frees you. What the hell do you think that is? It's the freedom to sin, to make mistakes. Not that any of us do it on purpose. And Paul misses that part. He misses the whole context of me saying, however, I always follow it up like Paul does. I'm going to follow up Romans or 1 Corinthians 10:23. Very soon here. I'm going to follow it up. I always follow it up. Where sin increases, grace super exceeds. Not saying you should go on and sin. I always say that. You've known me. You've heard me for 31 years. I never say, therefore, let's go out and sin. Let's test it. Yeah, test it. Well, you can test it all day and it won't fail. You can't sin your way out of salvation. Nobody can. It's fucking ridiculous. And that is Paul's personally applying it. All is allowed me. Okay, now I'm going to give you the next phrase. All is allowed me, but not all is expedient. Okay, that's... And I've always said that. Not all is expedient. I've always said that. All is allowed you. But they think that not all is expedient cancels out. All is allowed you. They think that it cancels it out. All is allowed me, but it's not all good. And then Paul goes on, he says it again. All is allowed me, but not all is edifying. Obviously, it's allowed me to take a knife and shove it into my heart. That's allowed me. It's allowed me to shag my stepmother. That's allowed me. Because Paul says all is allowed me. Isn't shagging your stepmother a sin? Yeah. Isn't putting a knife in your heart a sin? Yeah. But what happens where sin increases? Grace super exceeds. Oh, shit. Well, grace covers, it looks like. Yeah, it looks like. That's the beating heart of this message. Grace covers it. Because Christ covered it. So the problem my son has with me is because I believe a scripture verse. And that verse is all is allowed me. That's the truth. And the scripture verse, where sin increases, grace super exceeds. The beating heart of Paul's gospel. The rest of these things are just answers to objections. If you say all is allowed us, are you saying all is expedient? No. Since you say all is allowed us, are you saying that everything is edifying? No. If you're saying where sin increases, grace super exceeds, should we sin more then to get more grace? No. Could we sin and see grace increase? What a stupid question. Of course. Where sin increases, grace super exceeds. What do you mean? Can we sin with it? Then you read the verse. You said on your video that we're free to do even the things God doesn't like. God states he doesn't like, we're still free to do them, like backfighting, being bitter, being jealous, having envies within the body of Christ. God doesn't like that. Are we free to do them? Of course we are. That's what the gospel of grace is all about. That's what the gospel of grace is all about. And I am an enemy of my own son because I believe the gospel of grace and I defend it. And I'm not so stupid as to take the answers to objections or the answers to questions concerning the verse, concerning the beating heart. I don't use that to unplug the beating heart, to kill the heart, to take the heart out of the message and say, well, okay, you got me. Not all is allowed me. Nope. And if I said that, if Paul said that in verse 23, not all is allowed you, where are we? Back to the law of Moses. We're back to the law of Moses. If Paul says where sin increases, grace doesn't quite match up to it. In other words, sin is greater than grace. Where are we? Where are we? We're back to the law of Moses. We're pre-Calvary. That's where we are. You like that, Paul? My son, Paul, you like that? You like pre-Calvary? They love it. They love pre-Calvary because the human race is in the same condition after Calvary as it is before it, according to them. Same condition. Doomed sinners, bound for eternal death, except they think bound for eternal torture. That was a condition of the human race before the cross. After the cross, nothing changed. Absolutely nothing changed. You're still doomed sinner going to hell unless you do something to get yourself out of it. Believe in Jesus. Oh, well, I'm sure glad Jesus came. He didn't save anybody. He gives you the opportunity to save yourself. That's the biggest sin of all. And every Christian, including my son Paul, as he now believes, they're going to be thankful one day that grace covers all sin, because their teaching, their misunderstanding, their misapplication, and just slaughtering of Paul's gospel is the greatest sin I can think of.